Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to our 306th episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for more than a quarter of a century. I'm Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell.
We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Today, we're talking about AI.
Artificial intelligence.
Prompted by the Productivity Commission's harebrained idea that we should not regulate it too much, as that would supposedly inhibit its development.
Yeah, and dent the profits of big tech companies, we'd add. So next week, the Australian government will be conducting a productivity summit, as it calls it, to address Australia's apparently flagging productivity, measured in dollar terms, of course. It will be an economic roundtable with ideas put forward to boost economic growth and productivity, with the big players, including big companies and corporate bodies, unions, and some representatives of civil society. In the lead-up, we've seen lots of preemptive ideas and interests being floated and put forward. So today we're looking at one of them, artificial intelligence, or AI as it's called. So with AI cowboys already running far ahead of regulation, that is regulating in the public interest, the Productivity Commission came out with an astonishing pro-business, pro-big tech report that advocated for minimal regulation of AI. The PC argued that AI could add more than $116 billion to the economy, $116 billion to the economy, but that regulations should not get in the way of this.
Specifically, the Productivity Commission wants minimal guardrail regulation for the high-risk forms of AI, and we'll come back to some of those risks in a minute. And the Productivity Commission also proposed copyright exemptions for AI to train their models on. Everyone's intellectual property is seemingly up for grabs for nothing.
For nothing, yeah. We've talked about this on Think Again before, how big technology companies literally steal our data and use or sell it for profit.
Mm-hmm.
How we're surveilled and our information is taken without our permission or even knowledge.
Yeah, in the past, pre-internet, this would have been unthinkable. It would be unthinkable that companies would be allowed to take our information from our letterboxes, for example, and on-sell it to use or use it directly to inform their own business decisions.
Mm.
With the internet now so much part of the way we operate, and with the ease of gathering information about us, it seems that big tech steals our data because it can, with regulation always playing catch-up. Mostly way too late.
Yeah, like now. And if it ever does in the face of big tech lobbying and all its preemptive grabs already being made. So artificial intelligence takes this digital theft to an even higher level with different types of writing, research, art, acting, personal communications and reflections, records of human activity, all being used to generate artificial intelligence. All this is hoovered up from the internet with no payment, usually, most often, no payment to the contributors or creators. So no wonder we've heard writers, artists, actors, musicians and media companies too, the big and small, they're all objecting, of course. The Productivity Commission's argument for AI companies to be allowed to do this and bypass current copyright regulations is based on the assumption that new technology is always necessarily progressive. So that's one of the assumptions. So stopping it must be regressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's new technology, so we should all get with the program. And if you don't want to get with the program, you must be some sort of Luddite.
Or a conservative or something.
Yeah, and I guess there's also, it's assuming all profits are legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. But going back to the Productivity Commission's argument that the generation of mega profits is necessarily a good thing, this seems to overlook that the distribution of wealth is our big central problem,
Namely
the growing inequality which comes of it.
Yeah. Yes, at the expanding gap between rich and poor, I agree. It's our one big problem, mm-hmm. our big central problem. And look at where that's led,
mm-hmm.
arguably led in the US, mm-hmm. for example. So it's a big problem. And with those holding the wealth, using it for rent seeking, mm-hmm. As it's called. So that's lazy money, as lazy money to generate more wealth rather than make the investments mm-hmm. to generate productivity.
That's right.
Mm. So it's sort of encapsulated in that old saying, the rich get richer. So mm-hmm. the rich get richer by doing things with their lazy money that doesn't require them to invest.
And because the system hoovers it up to them.
Mm. Yeah, so that's been documented really well by economist Joseph Stiglitz
mm-hmm.
and other more critical economists.
Yeah, particularly also our Australian, Institute.
Yeah, that's right.
They do a really good job there.
Yeah, and this lazy money becomes lazier
mm-hmm.
with the mega monopolies that have eaten up all the competition.
Mm.
And that's been in the media lately too.
Yeah.
And all that leading, mm-hmm. that monopolization mm. leading to less productivity.
That's correct. So Emma Horten, who is a Danish feminist economist, in her just published book called Deficit, How Feminist Economics Can Change Our World. And she clearly shows how the entire mathematical and ideological construction on which the Productivity Commission and the entire political economy of capitalism operates that is fundamentally faulty and unable to meaningfully deal with things like inequality.
Mm.
Rather the opposite. It actually promotes and creates and justifies inequality and argues not only for its existence, but for making the drivers of inequality better and even more perfect.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and the AI and internet multi-billionaire owners would not want it any other way.
Mm, that's right. We'll certainly return to Emma Horton's book in a later program, but just briefly, she argues and illustrates with great clarity how some of the most critical human activities occurring in our societies, communities and households is actually not included in all the figures and statistics used to tell us how our economies are going.
Mm.
Not included in the data, for example, are most care and household activities, from childbirth to breastfeeding through childcare and care for the sick and aged.
Yeah, and I should say largely carried out by women.
That's correct. These caring and household activities are left out of figures making up our GDP. And the calculations going into measuring our so-called productivity.
Mm.
Or even also our so-called inflation or our so-called growth. But just imagine those activities that are included in those calculations. That is everything to which a price can be attached. Just imagine those activities without the care and household relational activities sustaining them. It would be totally impossible.
Yeah, so which is something we talked about in our very second program way back in June 2019.
Mm, that's right. So let's now look at where and how the internet and internet technology fits with all this economic calculus.
Well, yeah, remember the internet's early promise. Some younger listeners won't have witnessed this, but in the early days, it was hailed as an egalitarian, emancipatory force.
That's right.
With people across the world able to bypass controlling governments and share information with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, governments decided not to inhibit this new technology with too much regulation so that it would be free to develop and innovate. So, sound familiar, Jacques? Anyway, we know how that worked out.
That's right.
Big tech corporations subsequently worked out how to monetize the internet. As a result, we're now surveilled routinely online, and information about us and from us is stolen on a regular basis. Yeah. And the monopolization of the internet means it's hard, if not impossible, to find alternatives where this doesn't happen.
That's right. Again, a brief aside, talking about the surveillance happening in our daily lives and how it then translates into profit for the usual suspects, as well as into growing state-based regulatory interventions in our daily lives. Who is really behind that increasing surveillance? How is it done? I interviewed Anthony Lowenstein, some listeners may remember, at the end of 2023, after his book had just come out demonstrating how the State of Israel uses its spying laboratory on Palestinians to develop software and hardware, which it then flogs off to hundreds of states and firms and dictators and all of them to spy on their own citizens or workers. And now a Mint Press study has found that, and I quote, hundreds of former agents of the notorious Israeli spying organization Unit 8200 have attained positions of influence in many of the world's biggest tech companies, including Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and Amazon. The Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, Unit 8200 is infamous for surveilling the indigenous Palestinian population, amassing compromising stuff and on individuals for the purposes of blackmail and extortion.
Yeah, and this was recently covered in the mainstream media with surveillance data being collected on starving Palestinians desperately trying to collect food for themselves and their families. And I heard that face recognition technology was even being used. I guess we should be sceptical when big tech companies tell us to trust them and not regulate them too much.
Yeah, and we'll come back to this after the music break. What did you put up?
Positive Change by Baruch.
Thank you.
You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 8:55 a.m. on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Today we're talking about artificial intelligence, AI, and why it needs to be better regulated, not less regulated, as the Productivity Commission would have it. Before the break, we were just talking about how last year the Israeli Defense Forces Unit 8200 hit the headlines for its spying on the world's rich and famous after the Pegasus scandal broke. Former Unit 8200 officers of the IDF designed and implemented software that spied on tens of thousands of politicians and likely aided in the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
So tell us about Pegasus, Shah.
Well, Pegasus works by sending a text message to a targeted device. If a user clicks on the link provided, it will automatically download the spyware. Once infected, it is possible to track an individual's location and movements, take screenshots, turn on the phone's camera and microphone, retrieve messages and steal passwords. As we already have heard from Anthony Rubenstein, Pegasus is a creation of NSO Group, a technically private company staffed primarily by Unit 8200 veterans of the IDF, of the Defense Force. And the software has been used to eavesdrop on more than, listen to this, 50,000 prominent people around the world. That included dozens of human rights defenders, nearly 200 journalists, several Arab royals, and over 600 politicians, including people like French President Emmanuel Macron, Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan, Iraqi President Behram Salih, whilst Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi used the software to dig up dirt on his personal opponents. So you can imagine what it did to all of us, the not-so-important citizens and customers from every and anywhere.
Yeah, and Shark, I accidentally turned off your microphone at the beginning of that. So can you just say just a little bit again about how Pegasus works?
By sending a text message to a targeted device. If a user clicks on the link provided, it will automatically download the spyware. And once infected, it is possible to track an individual's location, movements, take screenshots, turn on the phone's camera and microphone, retrieve messages and steal passwords.
So that's pretty powerful software.
It is, yeah.
And another firm, Toka, is even more worrying and dangerous, if that's at all possible.
That is possible. Toka was established by former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, with the help of a number of Unit 8200 officers. Toka can infiltrate any device connected to the internet, including Amazon Echoes, televisions, fridges, and other home appliances.
So you're talking about so-called smart devices.
That's
and smart
correct.
Homes.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Toka effectively acts as a front group for the Israeli government spying operations, as well as selling their software to the major IT behemoths.
There's not much morality there.
No.
Yeah, and artificial intelligence, or AI, it's not only a surveillance issue, whether that surveillance is for political or military purposes or for mega profits or all of them way into the future.
That's right.
The Australian Council of Trade Unions, the ACTU, is worried about AI for its impact on workers and employees. And as a ACTU Assistant Secretary, Joseph Mitchell, put it, quote, "We can't let multinationals and the bigger we can't let multinationals and the biggest businesses make all the decisions on AI," unquote, which would seem obvious.
But evidently it is not obvious to our esteemed Productivity Commission.
And I guess all the other parties still hanging on to the neoliberal belief that if you look after big business, the benefits will naturally trickle down to everyone. A belief still held in the face of all the irrefutable evidence showing that the opposite happens in reality. In actual fact, if you look after the rich, more riches trickle up to the top on the whole. And we know that happens from eminent economists such as Thomas Piketty and Joseph Stiglitz, and as you said before, Jacques, summarised by our own Australia Institute.
That's right.
Yeah. So, of course, the ACTU is concerned about the potential loss of jobs due to AI used by big corporate employers, with knowledge-based and manual workers in Australia apparently more vulnerable than in other OECD countries. So the knowledge-based and manual workers. And the ACTU's concerned that AI should not be used to reduce the conditions of working people.
So the prospect of serious disruption from AI demands that we start formulating fair and egalitarian policy solutions right now.
Yeah, that's right. And not just all roll over as the PC and big tech wants us to do. I think a particularly sinister aspect of AI, in addition to the others that we've just been talking about, a particularly sinister aspect of AI is its ability to mimic real people based on information and also images hoovered up from the internet. And recently we've seen in the news that AI bots looked to for social connection and support have caused considerable harm, including death. In a range of incidents, these AI bots have enabled or encouraged psychotic delusions of people already not mentally well, given detailed instructions for causing harm to others, even murder, and encouraged suicide, with suicide sometimes happening as a result.
That's right, yeah. And there's worse. Another just-published book warning of the dangers of AI is Laura Bates, and the title is really interesting, The New Age of Sexism, How the AI Revolution is Reinventing Misogyny. The back cover of the book states, at present, power largely remains in the hands of a few rich white men. New AI-driven technologies, with misogyny baked into their design, are putting women in danger, their rights and safety sacrificed at the altar of profitability and reckless speed. End of quote. The book by Laura Bates, explores the so-called metaverse, confronts deepfake pornography, travels to cyber brothels, tests chatbots and refers to schools in the grip of online sexual abuse. In general, the book shows how our lives in all their aspects are being infiltrated by easily accessible technologies that are changing the way we live and love and in general relate with one another and our world. Bates refers to the newly emerging domains as a new Wild West.
Yeah, which is a pithy way of saying unregulated or at least way underregulated.
That's correct. As artificial intelligence is drawing on what is already on the net and we already should be pretty much aware of what unhealthy use of the internet leads to, and we will talk about that again in a future program. For the moment, we just refer to some of our earlier programs in which we referred to the work of Jonathan Haidt talking about the anxious generation and the book Stolen Focus by Johan Hari talking about the loss of our attention spans and other psychological and mental results of social media overuse.
Yeah, the theft of our mental space and attention spans.
Absolutely. So,
which is not just taking, it's actually intruding into our psyche in the way we, as you say, the way we relate to each other.
Subcutaneously almost, yeah.
Exactly. So with all that and more in mind, it's rather alarming that AI companions have been proposed as a cheap way of supporting older people in the context of worries about ageing populations here and across the world. So that's AI being proposed, artificial intelligence, bots or presentations being offered as cheap helpers and friends, quite seriously. But you really have to wonder, what sort of society would rely on AI as a solution to loneliness and social isolation for any age group. Mm-hmm. And we can see that's how that's working with young people too.
Well, with kids even.
Yeah. And what sort of society would let under-regulated artificial intelligence loose on all of us, while once more the wealth from all of that we produce in its human fullness is funneled up to smaller and smaller elites that hold the lion's share of the loot and the power.
Mm. Yeah. And lastly, let us not forget that all of the data feeding this artificial intelligence, our data, our creative knowledge and gifts, is not really sitting in a big fluffy cloud.
Mm.
It is processed in huge banks of energy-hungry and water-hungry computers, pulling from our environment and the health of our planet into the future.
Yeah, so think The Matrix, mm-hmm. for those who have seen the movie, which Jacques hasn't. But if you've seen The Matrix, it's a very good movie. What we've described is the ugly reality behind the fluffy cloud image.
Yeah, so we say regulate AI before it's too late.
Which is a good slogan. Regulate AI before it's too late, and perhaps have a summit, not just on productivity, but on the fair distribution of the goods from all our productivity in its fullness. But perhaps we could have a summit on productivity and fair distribution.
That would be much better.
Mm.
The war on Palestine has not stopped. Palestinians need self-determination. Gaza must be free of Israeli occupation forces, have unconditional access to aid and reconstruction. 17 years of Israeli siege must end.
The West Bank needs the violence and attacks by the Israeli army and settlers to stop, and an end to the occupation and apartheid.
Your support to end the war on Gaza to bring peace, justice and freedom to all of Palestine is needed more than ever.
Join the nationwide rally on Sunday, the 24th of August, 12 noon, outside the State Library Victoria on Swanson Street.
With Netanyahu and Trump threatening to ethnically cleanse Gaza and annex the West Bank, we all need to stand up and say no.
Nationwide rally, Sunday, 24th of August, midday at the State Library.
With your support, Palestine will be free, from the river to the sea.
Free Palestine Melbourne is a 3CR supporter.
Thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to send us any comments about today's program, email borderlands at borders@borderlands.org.au. Our past programs are available by podcast on different platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au.
And meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milku Mana by King Stingray.
Thank you. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.